Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Sharp.
The Big Ten moves to a conference-only slate of games in 2020. How does that affect Purdue? We take a look. Plus the latest in recruiting on Golden Black Radio. I'm Kyle Charters, Tom Dienhardt here, Ryan Newbert by in just a couple of minutes. All right, Tom, the man who warned us all that this was coming late last week, the Big Ten decides that it will play 10 conference-only games this year. So what do you think about that, Tom? I mean, I guess the first question is this the – is this sort of the last gasp effort to save the season, or is this just a step toward what they feel like will be a season?
Probably the latter. I don't know if it's last gasp at this point, Kyle. This maybe buys them a little bit more time, and as we know, time is of the essence here. As we tick ever closer to the kickoff to this hoped-for season, right? You know what, Kyle? The move makes a lot of sense on a few different levels. Number one, from a safety protocol standpoint, which may be the most important of all, right, keeping everybody healthy. And the Big Ten feels that if they're just playing, quote-unquote, in the family, everybody in the conference will have the same sort of testing protocols and safety protocols. There's a general familiarity with what everybody's doing from a health and testing standpoint to prevent maybe a possible outbreak or a big spread. So that's number one. Number two, Kyle, if there is some type of a spread and teams have to postpone games or can't play because guys are being quarantined, this truncated 10-game schedule would allow some nimbleness where they could postpone matchups, play them later in the year. Because the thinking goes, Kyle, I believe they want to play like 2 weeks on, 1 week off, 2 weeks on, 1 week off. And if they need to, they want to be able to swap out opponents. And I'll say this to you, I wouldn't be surprised. They're working on a schedule now. I wouldn't be shocked, though, Kyle, when that schedule is released, that we only see a couple games. I think this is going to be a schedule that in a lot of ways is going to be built as they go along.
Really? So you think that when – I did notice on, PurdueSports.com, they have taken the 2020 schedule completely off the drop-down menu. Yeah. Perhaps you noticed the same, because I just wanted to refresh my memory on exactly, after those first few games, the order in which Purdue was scheduled to play its Big Ten games. Now, you can find that elsewhere, obviously. But the official schedule is taken down at Purdue. Your feeling is that they will come out with a schedule that is only a month deep and then go from there after that?
I don't have official word on that. That's the feeling I get. You're not going to be slid across your desk, Kyle. Here's Purdue's 10 games in 2020. I think, like you alluded to, we can only see, hey, Kyle, here's Purdue's first three opponents of 2020. Check back with us later on the remaining games. Because, as you know and all the listeners know, you have to be nimble and adaptable, able to make changes quickly, I think, in this environment if you want to try to play football, right? And you can't be locked into dates, extended dates far out, I should say. You have to be able to swap out opponents. If you've got to go to Minnesota 1 week, you can't because they're quarantined. Well, who could play this week? On and on it goes with the scenarios if you want to let them run through your head. So, again, nimbleness. Ability to change, huge keys, I think, big reasons why Purdue lopped off, or the Big Ten lopped off those three non-conference games. It's going conference only, and we'll see how it works. And Kyle, I guess another question is, who will be the 10th opponent for each Big Ten team? That's got to be the standard, obviously.
Yeah, that was the follow-up, right? I mean, you can assume, I guess, that Purdue would play everyone in the Big Ten West. Can we assume that Purdue will play Indiana? And I mean, is that an assumption we're making, or is that a guarantee? And does Purdue's East opponents remain the same, or are those all up in the air? What's your feel there? Do you have any idea? Or as you said, will this just be a sort of month-by-month venture to see exactly who Purdue is playing this season?
I think ideally you want to play your division opponents. So I think the Big Ten, you've probably seen reports of that, where they're going to try to front-load schedules, it sounds like, with your division opponents. And as far as your cross-division foes, who knows? I wouldn't bank on that game against Michigan or Rutgers, which were two of Purdue's three crossover games. Of course, Indiana's the other one. I could see the Indiana game. Obviously, both schools making an effort to want to play that. But again, I would count on, again, your division foes trying to be worked on their schedule, number one. And then the second priority would be getting IU on the schedule. After that, who knows? It just probably gets down to convenience. Who's available?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that might be right. So who benefited the most and who benefited the least from losing conference games or non-conference games?
Yeah. I got a kind of a cool story I want to post later today that looks at that very subject. I looked at every Big Ten team's three non-conference opponents, put them in two tiers. Who's sad to see these games go? Who's happy to see them go? Purdue, in my mind, I don't know if you disagree, Purdue's a school that if I'm them, I'm happy they're gone. I want no part of Memphis. I want no part of Air Force. I don't even want to go to Boston College. Those are tough opponents that even if you're not going to get a lot of credit for. It's not Florida State, USC, and Alabama. Three potentially dangerous things of foes are off my schedule, so I'm happy. You know, Michigan, Ohio State, had two big non-conference games, Michigan at Washington, Ohio State at Oregon. They're happy to see it go. Illinois and Indiana are two schools that, in my mind, are sad to see them go. Those two had arguably the easiest non-conference schedule of any Big Ten team. Those schools were banking on three easy layup wins as they treaded into Big Ten play. Now, of course, the sledding is mostly uphill for everybody playing conference games, which leads me to another question, Kyle. If there is a postseason, how will bowl eligibility be determined?
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that a little bit this morning. I would say here's my first thought. You finish 500 with a minimum of 8 games played. So 4-4
that's a good benchmark.
Would make you eligible for postseason, in my opinion. Now, do you finish 8-0 and you get yourself an opportunity to play in the college football playoffs? I don't know about that. Perhaps. I don't know how that'll all work out, but if you're talking about, teams in a conference, if you finish 4-4, if you manage to get 8 games played, I think maybe that gives you an opportunity for the postseason. That's a long way from now, Tom.
Kyle, you know us in our business, we're all about speculation and jumping way ahead in the future. That's what makes it fun, doesn't it? We all want to know right now what tomorrow's going to be like, right? So, yeah, the questions just come at you hard and fast.
Yeah. What another question that's a difficult one, I think, is what defines a good season? So if you're playing a conference only schedule, I mean, even with Memphis, Air Force, and Boston College, right? You're, in my opinion, you're assuming 2 wins there, right? Even though, you're going on the road to Boston College, you've got the other 2 games at home. So I think you're at the very least assuming a home split and probably that win, albeit on the road at Boston College. So if you were thinking this was a 6-7-8 being an extreme, I think, Purdue team, what's your definition of success now? I mean, 5-5 doesn't sound great, but you're taking 5-5 or no?
I'm taking 5-5 on Purdue. I guess a lot of it may depend on where these games are at, home and road. But honestly, Kyle, will home and road really matter this year? Given the fact that maybe nobody's in the stands, will there be any advantage to playing at home this year, besides maybe sleeping in familiar confines? So having thrown that out there, I still think 500 for Purdue would be a nice season. I think we all can agree, right? This team wasn't going to seriously contend probably for the Big Ten West. Like you alluded to, 6-8 wins looked like a pretty good range for Purdue. 7-5 would have been nice, I think. So extrapolate that or subtract it down to a 10-game Big Ten only season. And like you said, 5-5, I think that would be just A-OK in my book.
So how do you handicap it right now? Will Purdue play a game against somebody on September 5th?
I say the odds of that are dimming. I saw some reports today. The SEC's meeting today on Monday, their ADs, and there's talk that they still haven't decided if they're going to truncate their season, but there's talk about kicking back all the way to starting in October. So the way things are trending right now with this virus nationwide, given what we've seen as far as shutdowns going on college campuses so far with the team workouts, I think the chances of a start in September 5th are diminishing a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Unfortunately, I do know this. They will do everything in their power to play football. I get a feeling sometimes, Tom, that people don't have a full grasp of what happens if college football is not played this year. Do you get I don't know that people fully appreciate the problem that a lot of programs have if we don't play.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Maybe I'm sure Joe Sixpack probably doesn't. You know, people like you and I who work closely in this industry for years understand the bloodthirst for that college football money that these athletic departments need to sustain themselves. It's an addiction. There's no way, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Without football, everything dies. So you're right.
Yeah.
The urgency is real for these schools to play football. But you know what? It's going to be could be a daunting task, and it'll be interesting to see if they can pull it off here.
You had to suspend your opponent countdown. How'd you like writing the Boston College one now that Purdue's not playing the Boston College? Oh, how was that?
I'm now a Boston College football expert.
Yeah. Game that won't be played, at least not right now. All right, Tom.
So, yeah,
appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care, buddy. Be good.
Go ahead. Okay. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with Brian, talk a little bit of recruiting with him. We'll do that here in just a moment on Gold and Black Radio.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
It's time to boiler up and join the Braum squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
And Kyle here with Brian. We'll talk a little bit of football recruiting to start things off here. Brian, as you have written on the site, the top of the site as of right now, goldenblack.com, a couple of pretty big commitments upcoming, possibilities for the Boilermakers, including a familiar name, of course, and Yanni Karlaftis, who will decide on August 9th, so a little bit less than a month from now. Purdue would seem to be in pretty good position there.
I would assume so. I know at least Wisconsin has given him, you know, something to think really hard about, I think. I think the West Coast schools have at least piqued his interest enough to where they have merited some consideration. But again, you know, he's not been able to visit any of those places. So you really sort of have to suspend disbelief to foresee him just randomly picking a school out in California that he's never even been to. You know, Purdue has a lot of advantages here, but, you know, there come points in time in recruiting sometimes where your advantages are so longstanding and persistent that they sometimes become your disadvantages. I'm not necessarily saying that's the case here, but, you know, we've all been stuck at home for 6 months, and a lot of our natural inclinations, once our reality changes, might be to get the hell away from home as fast as possible. I don't expect that to be the case. I've said all along, I expect him to pick Purdue. And I'm sticking to that. It just makes too much sense. There's just too much, I guess, embeddedness between the family and the program at this point for me to be able to see him just now kind of striking out on his own and kind of bolting town. But I'd be a lot less surprised today if that happened than I would have been a couple of months ago. Don't really know why, other than you know, some sentiment of we have heard about Wisconsin having given him a lot to consider, but I would still anticipate it being Purdue.
You know, whereas it helped Purdue that it was running at that time a 4-3 defense to get George Karloftis to come, does it help Purdue that it is now running a 3-4 defense to help Yanni and recruit him to Purdue?
Well, I don't know if it necessarily helps them because he hasn't had the, I guess, same amount of time to be recruited to that new system. You know, he had a pretty close relationship, I think, with Nick Holt. I think Holt had done a good job recruiting him. Was a real presence in his recruitment. That kind of threw things for a loop a little bit. The timing of that from Yanni Karloftis' person probably wasn't ideal, but you have to do what you have to do for your program. You can't worry about any one recruit or anything like that. But he doesn't have the same, you know, background with, you know, Purdue staff as it's currently constructed than he did before in terms of the system, in terms of the personalities involved and whatnot. Throw in the fact that, you know, he couldn't make any recruiting visits to come hang around the coaches outside of that one he made for the basketball game in the winter. Coaches couldn't come through his school. Obviously, he couldn't take an official visit in June. So that was all important stuff in his recruitment in terms of him getting comfortable, getting knowledgeable about Purdue as it is right now, as opposed to the Purdue that had been recruiting him for probably 2 years prior. So, but still, I don't know if that, I guess, instability, for lack of a better term, is enough to have chased him out of town. I do know Wisconsin's done a pretty good job recruiting him, but there's only so much Wisconsin's been able to do also because of the fact that they've not been able to have him on campus outside of the one time he visited for a game many, many months ago.
Wasn't all that long ago, Brian, as you know, that Purdue got its 2021 quarterback commitment and might have an opportunity here just in a couple of days to get a 2022 quarterback commitment. Four-star Brady Allen from Southern Indiana will commit at 11 o'clock on Wednesday. Where does Purdue stand there?
I've always heard, you know, Purdue was at the forefront for him. It was a matter of this summer. He was going to camp at Notre Dame. He was going to probably camp at Ohio State, probably some other heavyweights. We would see this summer who else came in that might, you know, potentially dislodge Purdue from that, you know, perch top his list. Obviously, he didn't have a chance to do any of that stuff. I think he genuinely likes Purdue. He's visited 100 times. I think the Brahms really resonate with him. I think this is a downfield passing offense, and I think he's kind of straight out of central casting for that kind of thing, from what I understand. Big 6'5" quarterback, you know, stands to reason to suggest he's pretty good in the pocket. I haven't gotten to see him in person at all yet, but I think that Purdue's always been, you know, kind of up top for him, and I don't know what could have changed. I know all along there was a feeling that he would want to commit before his junior season. Again, the unknown of what this unconventional summer would do to change that.
Right.
You didn't know. Obviously, it didn't change anything because here he is on Wednesday at 11 a.m. about to announce his commitment. I would have to think, you know, Purdue is very much at the forefront there as well. He's got Wisconsin. He's got West Virginia. He's got Rutgers. He's got a bunch of other early offers. But I would be very, very surprised if it wasn't Purdue.
is this Purdue's earliest quarterback commitment, or earliest since who?
Oh man, I'm getting too old to remember this stuff. I don't think
Purdue's
gotten
before
any
junior season. I can't think of anyone.
It's been a long time. If they ever have gotten a commitment before a kid's junior year, they've gotten commitments during a junior year, George Karloftis being one of the most recent. But I don't remember them getting anybody before their junior year. I'd have to go back to Brandon Jones back in the day to remember exactly when he committed. But this is their early. This would be their earliest commitment in a long, long time, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it is early, but with everything else that's going on, with the chance of maybe not even playing a high school season, perhaps that maybe that makes it less surprising that you would commit this early. Let's talk a little bit about basketball, because I know you had a chance to watch basketball this weekend. Watching a lot of the same guys that you have been. What did you focus in on? Anything in particular?
Just this weekend, I basically just saw two players. Trey Kaufman played two games, and then Draven Gibbs Lawhorn from McCutchen here in town played one game. The thing to point out about Kaufman, first of all, is this is normally the time of year where the best teams in the country and the best players in the country would all be in some far-off city playing against one another.
Right.
The competition would be the highest-end competition these kids could find. Now, simply to be able to play at all, they're playing in these kind of local events against teams that have no chance against them. So I have seen this weekend alone, I saw, I was in Fort Wayne on Friday too. I kind of forgot about that. this weekend alone, I saw a 50-point win, I think another 50-point win, and then I think a 40-something point win. It's just there's only so much you can take from this when you're watching these players against this level of competition. Right. And God help these college coaches who are watching on live stream trying to evaluate these players over hopefully a suitable connection. But the two games I saw Trey Kaufman play in, we'll kind of focus on that because it's the most recent. He looked really good, like really, really good.
Yeah.
He looks bigger. He looks quicker. He looks more explosive. He looks really good. And, Purdue has been there for a long, long time on him. You know, some things got a little complicated when they got Caleb first because, even though the two of them would be great together, in my opinion, in a lot of people's opinion, they do kind of sort of technically play the same position. Both of them are versatile enough to play a couple of different positions. Which is why I think they would be so good together. But that kind of complicated things a little bit. It complicated things because Purdue got a player who technically categorizes at the same position, but also because, Purdue only has two scholarships and, it's hard to have a two-player class and take two players who are categorized in the same way. But I think, to me, if they're fortunate enough to be in a position to still get Trey Kaufman, and I think they would have had the first thing not kind of thrown this for a loop. First is a really good player. We have to add that. He's the highest rated player in Indiana. So it's not like Purdue took, a stuffed shirt first here. They took a really, really good player, a borderline great player. He's like top 40 in the country. Good. But I think that if Purdue's fortunate enough to be in a position here where they can get Trey Kaufman still, they've got to take him. They have to. They have to get him in somehow because he is too good. He's too good a fit. And they have to get him in one way or another. To me, now can they get him? That's obviously the question that remains. I think Purdue was the big dog in that recruitment for many, many, many months. To the point where I thought he'd be committed by the spring had this gone on. That's my personal opinion. Now I know as soon as Purdue got Caleb first, a couple schools called him that night thinking Purdue was out trying to push him to commit. That obviously hasn't happened. Purdue would like for him to wait this out, go through the process, I'm quite certain, see where they are in the end. But once again, if Purdue can be in a position where they're fortunate enough to get him, they have to get him. He is too good a player.
Yeah. Much more on the site, goldenblack.com, right now on football and basketball recruiting. Thanks, Brian.
No problem. Thanks.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that next on Golden Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text 765-412-5217 or email kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. The warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs, with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing, printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
More at goldenblack.com about the change to the Big Ten only slate. Also, ball and basketball recruiting. Go to goldenblack.com. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. Back again next Monday with our next podcast. Thanks to our sponsors, including Home Field Apparel, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team, and RE/MAX Ability Plus, Follett's, the 6G Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. For Tom Deanhart and Brian Hubert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.